farm when we bought it was basically a corn and beans farm, and then much of it was in overgrazed pasture. So it was grass, corn, and beans. But the biome, the plant communities, natural plant communities in the area was oak savanna. And so the oak savanna was characterized with an upper story of either oak, chestnut, or beech. It was a mid-story of cherry and apple. All of these prior to European arrival were just the wild cultivars of those plants. And for a shrub layer, there was wild plum, there was hazelnut. Hazelnut was one of the dominant shrubs in the upper Midwest savanna biome. And, of course, grass grew all over the place everywhere, and animals were, you know, the notorious grazers in the system prior to settlement. Of course, bison being large in numbers.
And I'm assuming then those are the crops that you're primarily producing now at New Forest Farm?
So what we do is we focus on a strategic few of those. So we're not doing a complete ecological restoration of an oak savanna, but we're picking out some of the keystone species from a tall crop, medium crop, short crop, et cetera. We plant them in rows, and then we either grow traditional alley crops, you know, corn and beans, small grains. We grow produce in the alleys in between those rows of trees, or we graze animals. At the most, we were grazing cattle, sheep, pigs, turkeys, guineas, and chickens through the whole system, one after the other. They all cruise through it. If you can imagine like a National Geographic video of the African savanna in your mind, all these animals out there wandering among the trees and shrubs and bushes with grass everywhere and just tons and tons and tons of animals and lots of birds. That's the system that we're imitating, but of course the North American version.
As you look at agriculture today, what do you think are the biggest issues with agriculture today and going forward?
I think the biggest issues with agriculture going forward is the absolute critical dependence on an uninterrupted supply of inexpensive fossil fuels. Without the fossil fuels for the sprayers, the herbicide itself, the fungicide itself, fertilizers, transportation fuels, you know, equipment, there's one hiccup in the fossil fuel supply. American agriculture comes to a screeching halt. But if we design agricultural ecosystems that are imitating nature, natural systems, we still have to harvest them. We still want to do some, you know, weed management. We'll still want to do some disease control, pest control, et cetera, but drastically reduce. And if we want to, we can just walk away, and our farm will turn right back into an oak savanna, which is what it really is.
Certainly part of the equation right now for farms is producing corn-based ethanol, soy-based biodiesel. What are the issues you see with using food crops in fuel production?
Well, if the energy coming from the food crops was going into the human food system, it is taking, you know, calories away from human beings that could be used to feed people. If you're doing something like planting hazelnuts in a riparian zone where right now it's too wet to grow anything, here's a new crop that has never been in the food system yet at all to take some of that to use internally as fuel makes sense internally, and it's not taking you know, calories, food away from people. And then in the case of oils, if we were to use soybean as the example, I find it ridiculous if people would squeeze a soybean. You pick up soybeans, they're hard and dry. Hazelnuts have three times oil per kernel by weight. And so it seems ridiculous that we'd be squeezing soybeans when we could squeeze three times the amount of oil out of hazelnuts. Well, if we take the oil that we squeeze out, whether it's soy or hazelnut, then use that oil as cooking oil to make our potato chips, our Fritos, our Cheetos, all those different cool deep-fried stuff. You see tankers full of food-grade oil being used to cook our foods. Then we take that oil after it's been used, filter it, dewater it, and use that for fuel. It hasn't taken food away from the human food system. It's actually helped to cook the food in the human food system. So I see that as a much more appropriate use of bioenergy products from agricultural crops.
Do you think that farms like yours can produce enough food to meet the nation's and the world's demand?
Well, first of all, the farms that are out there right now aren't currently meeting the world food demand. And so before they start pointing fingers at us for not meeting world food demand, why don't you step up to the plate and take care of it first? I just want to put that out there. We can farm on land that is not considered to be arable land. We can go on rocky, steep hill slopes, land that currently right now is not producing food. And if we need to produce 50% more food in the next 4 years to keep up with human needs, we don't have to only look at arable land. Another point with the food supply, let's take corn, for example. And if you're talking about beef alone, the vegetarians are right. It takes 10 pounds of corn to make 1 pound of beef. We have 900% more food available to us, except that we're feeding corn to cows. Well, and then another 15 to 17% of all corn is made into ethanol. So all of those calories that could have gone to feed people are now going to right to burn in our cars. So until, you know, we go ahead and utilize 900% more of the calories available for feeding people instead of, you know, fat cows and ethanol plants, I don't think it's a fair argument to point at a system like mine, because I come up a few calories short when compared to an acre of corn. I can produce, I bet you the cost of production on total calories on my farm, the dollars per calorie is incomparable. There's no annual agricultural system that can produce those many calories that inexpensively, because if I want to, I can walk away and do nothing to my farm except harvest it. And those calories are, for all practical purposes, free.
Very interesting. Before I let you go, Mark, what do you see as the biggest things that need to change in terms of agricultural policy, you know, at the national level, at the state level, to better allow farms like yours to thrive?
Farms like mine can thrive without any change in ag policy right now, because we're profitable on our own without subsidies or tax breaks or whatever the deal is. That's not the case with large-scale annual agriculture. But I do think that on a national stage, some things that should be taken into consideration, hay should become a commodity crop, just like corn and beans, because that would give farmers an incentive to have a hay crop growing. And if there was a permanent cover near our streams and lakes and rivers, et cetera, 99% of non-point source pollution, you know, from phosphorus, from pesticides, herbicides, et cetera, wouldn't exist, because all the any overland runoff would get filtered through the grass. A second thing that I think would be very helpful would be for the federal government to all of a sudden cost share the planting of riparian zones along streams and rivers and lakes, et cetera, to a perennial woody crop such as hazelnut that can produce comparable yields as soybeans per acre. It produces shells, which will burn as hot as anthracite coal. It produces biomass wood chips every single year. And, of course, the kernel itself, which is food for humans or for livestock, and has 3 times oil per kernel weight as a soybean. I think that we should have some incentives to plant riparian zones, clean up our water while producing a crop. Most riparian zone programs right now will cost share you for planting trees and shrubs near streams, but they won't let you harvest from it.